You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. If you'd like to reach us on our off-air number, you can text or call 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. I want to welcome back to the air. We have Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm.
Hey, guys.
Our legal consultant, legal expert here. Thanks for coming back, Stephen.
You bet. I love being here.
He's the best.
Yes, he is.
Appreciate that.
Also have Tom Turbrock and Tammy Haldeman in the studio. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Afternoon.
Okay, so we have some questions about, I know something you guys do a lot of representation around dram shop claims. Explain, what is a dram shop claim?
Dram shop claim is a civil cause of action against a bar or a restaurant or any kind of business that sells intoxicating liquors. And so the cause of action is essentially that the business overserved a visibly intoxicated person. Right. So the bar has a responsibility, because it's profitable from selling alcohol, that it has to be prudent with the sale of alcohol and cut people off when it's time to cut them off. So if the bar or restaurant fails to do that and that person leaves the restaurant and goes and hurts somebody, well, then the bar can be on the hook.
Well, that's a slippery slope, too, because I wouldn't want to have that responsibility. Because it is so tough to tell sometimes, how intoxicated somebody is.
These cases are so fact-specific, and you're exactly right, Doug. I've got to look at, people tolerate alcohol differently. You have to look at BAC levels. Sometimes there is no BAC level to look at because it wasn't drawn after the accident, whatever it is. So it's very fact-specific. So when I investigate these cases, which is in just about all drunk driving injury cases I look at, they involve a lot of legal work and a lot of investigative work.
Okay, so what is the point where a bar really starts to have liability?
If you are serving somebody who's quote-unquote visibly intoxicated, right? I don't know what your blood alcohol level is by looking at you, but I can probably tell that you shouldn't be served if you're stumbling, slurring your words, unsteady gait, you're loud, boisterous, maybe demanding, maybe argumentative. It's just common sense. And these servers and these bartenders are trained, and they have to have training for the most part.
Right.
At least a lot of the chain restaurants require the training in safely serving people and knowing when to realize that somebody's visibly intoxicated and cut them off. Because it's a huge liability. It really is.
Boy, when you think about the motivation to be able to cut somebody off, the chain restaurants, I can definitely see it, that it's a lot easier to try to cut somebody off if they're drinking too much. But when you're dealing with bars where people are going there to drink, the corner bar where they're not only going there to drink, but they're going there to get drunk.
Correct.
In many cases, from a self-serving standpoint, that's when the bartenders or servers really make their money in
you
a lot of cases.
A great point to light. And I look at these cases all over the state of Missouri, in Illinois and Arkansas. And I can tell you, when you start getting out to the outlying jurisdictions in Missouri and you look down south and wherever it may be, a lot of these bars, they're regulars, right?
Right.
And they serve them.
Yes.
And here, I'll take it even a step further. They'll serve these guys because they're regulars, and then the bar will close, and they'll continue to serve them after hours, and they'll hang out.
Right.
And we did that when we were growing up. Maybe when you were working in a bar, you'd hang out afterwards and have a couple drinks, right? And it's just one of those scenarios where it happens more often than you'd think.
Right. Then they get in their car, they drive home. Is there liability for the bar just for DUI?
There's a lot.
Without a wreck?
No, absolutely not. No.
Okay.
No.
So that's all on the driver.
Yeah. There has to be an actual injury. And I'll take it a step further, Doug. You have to injure somebody else. So if I leave the bar and I'm intoxicated and I wreck my car into a tree, I can't sue the bar for over-serving me. So I've got to go potentially hurt somebody else, and then that person's lawyer can sue both me and the bar if
and
they
the bar,
over-serve
which
me.
May have better insurance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay, so that's where the responsibility really starts to kick in.
Correct. That's right. And I want to point out that a lot of bars actually don't even have the dram shop endorsement, which is a form of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'm looking at bars that don't even have insurance to cover that loss.
Ooh.
And you're looking at a scenario where you have somebody who's passed away or critically injured, and sometimes I have to look at how I can, get this person compensated by the sale of potential assets.
Now, do they sue the
bar
mm-hmm. or the actual server?
Both.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yeah, you can sue both.
So why would you even want that job then if you're that, wow.
And I want to make this point. These cases are extremely difficult to
make.
Yes, sir. The statute of Missouri that allows us to prosecute these claims in the civil courts has made it a high standard of proof to make the connection and the jump to holding the bar accountable.
That's some pressure, man.
Okay, you almost have to be stumbling out of the bar. You know, there's different circumstances, and like I said, they're very fact-specific. But it's not like these are easy cases to make.
Right.
So generally, the bar and the servers are going to be protected for using judgment, but it has to be reasonable. Okay.
Right, wow. Right. I know I've gone through training before
where I
volunteer up at the Blues when I do that, or the Rams Stadium. We go through a specific training, and we have to pass a class, and we are quizzed about the we have to card everybody. And we have to, they can only carry two drinks, one for each hand.
They can't have more than that. Okay.
It's been a little while for me, but those are the things that are popping in my head. But the biggest part was IDs, checking their IDs for illegal serving of minors.
Right.
You know, that was a big one that was drilled into our heads.
So, Stephen, how does liability change if it's a minor?
Yeah, well, it changes in.
If you're
serving somebody underage, there's criminal liability,
right?
And civil liability.
So at a bar where the bouncer carded them at the door, and they're not going to get in usually unless they have a fake ID,
right?
If they come in with a fake ID, does the bar still have responsibility?
That's a great question. I think it's going to fall on the facts, and mm-hmm. you know, if a bouncer thinks the ID is legitimate, you know, with computers and everything nowadays, they're making it pretty good.
Sure.
I know Missouri's changed their IDs recently to make them harder to fake.
Mm-hmm.
But I think generally they're going to look at the circumstances, and if the bouncer acted reasonably, maybe there's a little bit of a pass there.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And are there does it fall under dram shops at all when it comes to people drinking at a party at somebody's house?
No. You have to have a license to sell intoxicating liquor. So it only works – the law only applies to to businesses that have the license to sell the intoxicating liquor.
Mm-hmm.
So my house, your house, that doesn't apply to those cases.
Very interesting. So that's, you know, one of the things that they're, I think this is great now, is they're selling those small little breathalyzers.
Yeah.
And I actually just ordered one. They have that's Bluetooth with your iPhone. Okay, I went ahead and ordered one.
Of course you did, honey.
It's a technology thing, so of course I want it.
Why him? I don't see him drinking, you know?
He doesn't very often, but.
No, but if I am out somewhere and we've had a few drinks, this is just as accurate. These are tiny, too. You can fit it in your pocket. It's a little bitty. You can fit it in your pocket. It has a little tip-up straw that you can use to blow in it. And you know, if you're out drinking and you want to know, am I legal to drive or not,
right?
You can blow in it. So do they relate? Let's just say somebody blows in one of those. They could still continue to serve somebody when they're over the legal limit, I'm assuming, because they might not be driving.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I mean, you need to be careful. You know, and here's the potential problem I see a lot is – you know, not everybody stays at one bar, so they may hop around from place to place.
Exactly.
So if you're a server, you can kind of generally see, well, I've served this person three drinks in the last hour. Maybe I should cool it a little bit because they're hard liquor,
strong,
they're shots. You know,
right.
They're not beers. And it all depends on the alcohol content as well. But, you know, it's hard to judge that because maybe I've been five other places and served three drinks at each place I've been to. And in that situation, it's just difficult. It's very factual specific.
Very interesting. Yeah,
I did find out what dram. I did confirm my knowledge.
Okay, so
18th century.
So
a dram, the word dram, is a measure of liquid.
Okay.
So they used a spoon in the 18th century in England, and that's where the word dram came from.
So that's spoonful,
my girl.
I know, right? My brain actually works.
That's cool stuff.
Yeah, alcohol was called a dram.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And some place that served that would be a dram shop.
Correct.
Okay.
It just means spirits.
Okay.
Not the spooky kind, the alcoholic kind.
Good kind. Yeah.
You know, and the law loves to use common law language from the old English.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love to use that old.
Why do we say
the oldest
this?
Terms possible out there.
Yes.
And chattels and all kinds of
things.
Right. Yeah. I see chattel all the time. And,
right,
you know,
property.
You have a chattel mortgage?
Just say property.
I have no idea. Are you mispronouncing cattle?
You're right.
Are you drunk?
Yeah, so I would think dram shops when I see that posting. I'd be like, what is a dram shop?
Mm-hmm. You
know,
right.
But now I know.
Yeah, a unit of measure.
Well,
that's dram.
Definitely really good information. And I think if anybody gets in a situation where you need advice on this level, you have somebody in your family or you personally have had an accident, or somebody's had an accident into you and they were drinking and driving, you really need to get a professional that's mm-hmm. going to represent you and at least give you good advice. And I highly recommend Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm. Stephen, your website has great – I love your blog posts on there because it hits all these topics at schultzmyers.com.
Yep.
And then your phone number, 314-444-4444.
Correct.
Good stuff. You guys are easy to get a hold of. You have attorneys online many, many hours a day, right?
Yeah. I mean, people can reach out to us 24 hours a day, and there's somebody who's going to answer the phone. So, yeah, we're accessible all the time.
Good stuff. We always appreciate your expertise and everything you bring to the show, because as we want to help people's financial lives, part of that is keeping your liability down.
Absolutely. So, right. I appreciate you guys having me on. I always enjoy being here.
Good stuff, Stephen. Thanks again.
Okay.
So coming up, do you know what neighborhoods in St. Louis are the most expensive? We're going to cover the top 10 most expensive St. Louis neighborhoods when we return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.